this on? You can all be turning to Deuteronomy 6 is where we're going to spend the majority. We're going to read that whole chapter. Well, first I've ever checked, see how much that was. We'll keep it close. I told my wife, somebody's going to come up and give me a dollar. I just know
it. You know what? It was your star pupil's idea.
There we go. What? They're all my star pupil. What are you talking about?
I can say that because she's the only one here.
I got thinking about this. I was reading this chapter, and a couple things stuck out to me, so we're going to kind of hit those things. For you that have been praying for me, an update. My pancreas, I've had chronic pancreatitis. We have nicknamed it Hank, just because it's part of the family now. And the only difference is we can't claim it on our taxes as a dependent, which we could. It cost us as much as a dependent, but yeah. It's what it is. Thank you for the special guest we have, Mrs. Hain, here today. Just added a little more nervousness to me. So, is this fresh water, Zane?
Yeah.
That's good, because I'm going to drink it down hard today. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 25, we're going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read fast. I hope you can hang on. If you can't, tell me to repeat something. We'll go back there. Verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And I'll give a disclaimer right now. If I miss a word here or there, I'm sorry. It's just, there's a lot of ye's and go's and to's and all that stuff, but that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of my life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, excuse me, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Pastor kind of hit on that today in our message. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
Amen.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, as the testimonies and the statutes which he commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord shewed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you would give it to us. And I just pray that you would help us as we look into it. And I just pray that you'd help us, help me not say anything I shouldn't. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that's a lot of words. before I go any farther, my wife says that I just stand right behind the pulpit. So I'm going to move around a lot today, so it's like a tennis match. I want to see everybody's heads moving. And so we'll go from there, but just joking around. Verse 20, just hit that again. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come. So that reminds me, why is the son asking? So we went back to verse 7 and 9. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. They shall bind them for a sign unto their hand, and there shall be as frontlets between their eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. This is, verse 20 wouldn't have happened if verse 7 through 9 was happening. Okay, it's kind of a, if the parents were doing their job, if they were teaching their kids, if they were, verse 20 wouldn't have come along, when thy son asketh thou. If we were doing our job today, we can refer this very easily to us. If we're doing our job, our sons and daughters won't ask us, what are you talking about? Okay, it's basically what it's getting down to. So the challenge, I guess, would be verse 7 through 9. We need to be, as Pastor kind of hit on his message, it needs to start in our house. It needs to start with us. We need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. Another thing, 7 and 9, I'll flash to verse 16 real quick. It says, we shall not tempt the Lord our God. I kind of relate that to 7 and 9 because of, if we're not teaching our kids, if we're not being the parents we're supposed to be, are we tempting God? Are we making Him upset with us? Obvious answer is yes. He commanded us to do it. We're supposed to be following through with it. It's goes back and forth. I wanted to jump to verse 17. I'm going to move something right there because I keep kicking it. Verse 17 is the theme of the chapter. And it can be many themes, I guess, but this is the theme to me. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies and His statutes with which He hath commanded thee. Through this whole chapter, through the majority of the Old Testament, we keep hearing, keep thy commandments and thy statutes. Keep thy commandments and thy statutes. Keep thy commandments and thy statutes. The problem is, they didn't. They heard it, they saw the miracles, they saw the things that God did for them. They didn't keep the commandments and the statutes that he told them to do. Mm-hmm. It happens to us again today. We have the Bible. The Bible tells us, keep and follow thy commandments. We don't do it. We fall down. What happened when they didn't? Obviously, it didn't go bode well for them. They suffered. They didn't get the promised land. They didn't get things they were supposed to on a timely manner because they didn't follow through. Obviously, the results. I'm going to drop down to verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, and there we go again, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. That verse right there, the question is why? In the middle of that verse, for our good always. Follow these commands, follow these statutes, follow. If you have a Bible, you've been reading it in the Old Testament to follow the commands, the statutes. Well, why would I want to do that? Verse says right there, for your good always. It's going to be for your benefit, not for anybody else's. For your good always. Followed up by verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness. Again, it states, for our good always in 24, verse 25, it'll be for your righteousness if we observe to do these commandments before the Lord our God, as He hath commanded you. We're going to hear this word throughout this several times, the commandments, what I commanded you, these different things. It's for our good always in 24, it's for our righteousness in 25. That's not bad. That's good things. If we're doing something for our good always, for our righteousness, those are good things. So, if we're following the commands, the statutes, all the stuff God tells us to do, it's for our good always. It's for our benefit. And as I was looking over this is only, it's kind of like my own little devotional and how I came onto this. But verse 16, we'll jump up to that real quick. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. Well, obviously, I'm sure a pastor knows where Massa is. I didn't. So I called up my dad, which has been a Christian a lot longer than me, smarter than me. And I said, what's Massa? And he's a very smart man. He said, turn to Exodus 17, 1 through 7. Just boom, off the top of his head. And, well, it was either that or I saw it in the, and I have verses beside my Bible in my thing that said that. But I'll give my dad the credit because he's still the best man I know. So Exodus 17, 1 through 7. As soon as I get there. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" I've heard that word before. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people that be almost ready to stone me?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah. Well, there's our answer. And Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" That last verse, if obviously we're looking back on this today, but if I was a Jew at that time, that verse 7, the end of that, "Because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" That's pretty brazen. Yeah. You've followed the Lord. He's supplied your needs. You've cried to him. He's supplied your needs. He's constantly taking care of you. And then you, pretty much a big jab at the Lord. Is he with us or not? Well, that's a real brazen statement for me.
That's right.
So my dad calls me back up, joking again. He said, "Try Deuteronomy 9. Okay, I'll try Deuteronomy 9. So go to Deuteronomy 9. 7 and 8. And then it says, "Remember and forget now not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until he came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord." Also in Horeb, just read that, "You report the Lord, provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you as to have destroyed you." So now we associated Massah with Horeb. Now it's telling us again in Horeb, they were trying to provoke the Lord to wrath. So as I was talking to my dad, he says, check verse 16, same chapter. "And I looked, and behold, ye have sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf." And we all know the story. Moses goes up on the mountain. They're complaining, they're whining, "Aaron, you got to do this for us." They make the golden calf. Verse 16 again, "I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you." Again, it kind of goes hand in hand with being in church. If you're not in church, and I was one of those that grew up, why do we got to be in church 3 times a week or whatever? But it goes right along with the message. The farther you're out of church, the quicker you're going to turn away. Okay? Mm-hmm. The more you're in church, the better chance you're going to stay in the Word. You're going to stay with God. You're going to be part of God. So as I was going through this, he has said, chapter 9, verse 20 to 22, "And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him." This is fast forwarding after the golden calf, and he's come back down. "And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. 21, and I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust therein into the brook that descended out of the mount. And at Taberah, and at Massah," there's that word again, "and at Kibroth Hatharoth, you provoked the Lord to wrath." I'm not good with words, so we're just going to do it that way. The last part of 22, ye provoked the Lord to wrath. So Massah's not a good place. This wasn't... As we're going through this, God remembers Massah. He had Moses listed several times in here. "You provoked me to wrath. You tempted me. You constantly would not do what I asked you to do. You constantly try to do your own thing." So Deuteronomy, as I was looking at these different things, Deuteronomy kind of showed us instructions. Keep and follow thy commandments. Deuteronomy 9, as we're right here, especially verse 16, as I just showed, is their failure. You turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Again, through this, the whole Old Testament, different times you're going to hear, keep thy statutes, keep thy commandments, keep thy... And I've read this before, and it's, and I get very repetitive with it. Keep thy... Okay, just keep moving. That's pretty much what the Jews did. They didn't take the time to listen. They didn't take the time to teach their kids. They taught them what they had to do as far as ceremonies and stuff like that, but were they teaching them about God? Were they teaching them about the one that saved them, the one that kept them going? So as I was looking at all this, the one verse kept coming back in Deuteronomy 6 was verse 16. Again, I talked about the Mesa. But I just want to, I'll put this disclaimer out there, and I'll say as Pastor Hannon says, listen to me now. Are you listening to me? Tempted is the right word in this verse. I am not saying in any way you take the word tempted out of here and switch it to another meaning or anything like that. The word that struck out to me as I read this, and I've been thinking about this for a while, is, does the word bully fit in there? Ye shall not bully the Lord your God as ye attempted to bully him in Massa. Uh-huh. We can, and this is nothing new because we learned it from the Jews and the Israelites. They continued to try to bully their way through. God told them what they had to do. They continued to try to bully. They tried to do their own thing. In my definition, this is not the encyclopedias, but my definition of bullying is someone wanting or to take advantage of another. But not always does the bullying happen by the smaller person. I Googled that definition, and it said normally a smaller person. And I started looking at this, and yes, the land of Israel, the Israelites, whatever, there's a lot of people, but God's bigger than everything. He created everything. So the smaller group, the Israelites, were trying to bully God all the way through this. They were told what they were to do. They were told what the response, what's going to happen if you don't. They continued to try to get their way. They continued, you know, we need the molten calf. We need this. They continued to try to shove their way through. That's no different than us today. So when we do get bullied, and I don't believe I know anybody that likes to be bullied, if you are the one doing the bullying, maybe you like it, but when you're bullied, you get feelings of anger, depression, etc. If you've been bullied, you understand what these different words that would fit in there. No one likes being bullied. So I started thinking about how does God feel when we try to bully him. So I want to go to Deuteronomy. We're standing right here, but Deuteronomy 8. We'll do some more reading, 11 through 20. And oh, by the way, my handkerchief, people on the radio can't watch this, but my wife, the first message I ever did, she went and got me my grandfather's handkerchief.
Amen.
So, sorry, but that means quite a bit to me.
Yeah, I like it. That's right. That's good.
She was trying to bully me. So, if you've been bullied, you know my pain. Anyways, Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 20. Excuse me. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day, here we go again, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy later end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. These are the two verses that struck me, and I just wanted to point out. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord. So, up at like verse 11 down through, did the Jews listen? Obviously not. They continued to falter. Do we listen? Obviously not. We're sinners. We know that by nature. Again, it's realizing that you're trying to bully God and changing something versus continuing to do what we're doing. And that's kind of what I'm getting out of this, whether anybody else does or not. Like I said, it was my devotion. It was for me.
Amen.
But verse 17 stuck out very much to me as, I'll just read it. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's the USA today, not the paper. That's the United States of America today. I've done it. I've gained it. Why do you think I should give you anything? It's all by the work of my hand, not by what you've given me. I don't need your religion. I got it. I took care of it.
Yep.
It's very important we recognize who gave us what we have. And I'll bring my pancreas back up again. I had a friend, Jeremy Honey, sent me a text. How was I doing? I sent him back, just getting used to the pain again. Because for the first four years I became diabetic, I didn't have the pain of the pancreatitis anymore. So it was a real blessing. Last 3-4 weeks, the pain's come back. So anyways, I'd ask him to pray. And I said, I'm just getting used to the pain again. He said, well, if you didn't have the pain, you'd know you were dead. I said, well, that's a good way of looking at it. Because the pain's there, means I'm still going. So it's all in how we look at it, obviously. But it's you got to give God credit and glory for whatever you have. And if it's the pancreas, then that means I kick my pancreas and I go, woo, it's working. I got to stick with it. There's nothing I can do about it. But in Deuteronomy, the last two there, 18 through 20, again, God will not be bullied. He's going to testify against these people. I will testify you at the end of verse 19. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And then verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Again, we look at the Israelites and we say, how stupid could they be? They had wonders that he constantly provided for them. How stupid could they be? We constantly cut them down. He provides food for us. He provides shelter for us. He provides our needs. We continue to not give him the credit. We continue to try to bully him when what something we want or something we want to get from him or out of the world, we continue to try to do our own thing. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit and go to the worldly bullying. If you are being bullied in the world, and this is, I would say kids, but bullying goes on at every age, every level. If you're being bullied in the world you live in, if that's school, work, home, co-workers, boss, government, etc., everybody's probably being bullied in some aspect. Number one, pray. Number two, tell someone. Number three, each situation requires a different approach. They all cannot be handled the same way.
That's good.
The one way they can be handled is start out with step one and pray. Okay? You gotta have God on board with you. So this is a big question, and in a lot of churches this wouldn't be asked, but this is Black Creek, so we're going to ask it. Is there religious bullying?
Come on.
Do you get bullied in your faith? Do you get bullied by a mate? I will use the mate as, and not always, but unequally yoked is a big one. Do they not let you come to church, or do they not let you tithe, or do they not... It's all a form of bullying in my opinion, okay? Bullied in the church as far as in this does not happen. Hear me, listen to me. A bully pulpit. There are certain churches that have bully pulpits. It's not a good thing. A lot of times you're told you're not good enough to be used in the church.
Yes, it
happens a lot. Again, this one doesn't happen, but bullied by pastors. And I put leadership in there because I shouldn't have because I'm a deacon, but... Do you get bullied by your pastors or your leadership? Obviously, it doesn't happen here, but if you're in that situation, and we're going to turn to Matthew 18. I think everybody knows this, but if I didn't bring this up, after bringing up being bullied in the church, I would probably be wrong for not, but Matthew 18, we're just going to do 15 through 17. And what does the Bible instruct us to do if we're being bullied in the church? Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and that's someone in a church, fellow Christian, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And verse 17, and if he neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Basically saying, you got to let it roll off your back. I mean, go do it biblically. If he is offended, but this is the biggest thing. You can't be offended because Johnny said I chewed my gum too hard. I understand that's a wild out there exaggeration or example, but there are people who get so ticked off over the littlest things in the church and say, well, this is not talking about if Johnny's chewing his gum too hard. This is talking about somebody has biblically offended you in the church. You go to your Bible, you pray about it, but you go through Matthew 18, you do the steps. After you've done that, you need to let it go. You need to just, you've done it the way the Bible told you. If that person's not going to do something about it, the church will do something about it if it gets to that step, to that level. If you do Matthew 18, and if there is no resolution, you need to continue to seek God's wisdom. I won't say for the offended person, but for yourself, you got to continue to see what God has in it for you. It may not be as much as forgiving your neighbor or forgiving that one that's offended you. There might be something God's trying to teach you out of it, trying to make you grow, something that it's wrong in your life, but he's going to use this situation. You got to be open to God's leading, God's wisdom. Advice, worldly or church, that I can give about bullying, the most important thing is it has to agree with the Bible. Whatever you're going to do, whether you're getting bullied through the world or you're getting bullied at church, whatever steps you take have to agree with the Bible. And again, pray. Tell someone, Matthew 18, if it's a church person, deal with it in the church. Yep. Don't go outside the church. Tell everybody else how bad that person is, how worthless
that's
they are.
Right. Yes, sir.
You got to keep it in the church. You got to keep it, let the church take care of the problem. Yep. The advice that I can give, though, either way, obviously, it has to agree with the Bible. Don't continue to be bullied. If something in your life is bullying you as far as in the world, school, boss, all of the ones I listed off, you can't continue to be bullied. You got to get out of that situation. You got to find help, but you can't just stay in that situation. Obviously, we talked about pray. Tell someone, try to work the situation out, figure out what you got to do, but you can't stay in that situation. It's not good for anybody if they're being bullied. It wears you down. We talked about your emotions, the stress, everything that happens. It's not good for you to be bullied. You just got to deal with it and try to go through the steps, try to get away from that situation. Now, you say, well, that's great, but the Bible doesn't pertain to us today. They were fools. They don't have the struggles we have today. They don't have all that goes on with us today. So I just grabbed a few lists of people out of the Bible that were bullied, in my opinion, my word. Again, please don't say I'm trying to change the word of God, but somebody that was bullied was Joseph.
That's right.
His brothers. Pharaoh's wife.
That's right.
Slave owners, prison. His whole life he was bullied. He trusted God. He hung in there. God blessed him multiple times.
Right.
I don't know if I could have been in Joseph's shoes and given God the glory and credit as many times. He's better way better than I was, but Joseph came to mind. Noah came to mind. All the people called him names, called him fool, called him, what are you doing this for? He obeyed God, did what God called him to do, followed through. God blessed him. Another one was Moses. Obviously, we read in Deuteronomy. He dealt with the nation of Israel, was bullied constantly by his family, by the nation. They all were telling him he wasn't doing things right, or he wasn't. How many times did Moses beg for the nation of Israel to God to save them when he should have been saying, take them out, I'm sick of this. He stood up for them, he tried his best, he tried to get through. The obvious one, David and Goliath. Goliath was a huge bully. Mike showed us last week, he had to duck to go through that building. He was a bully. No other terms about it, okay? David stood up for his God. God came through. God showed true.
Amen.
Prophets. At different times reading through the Old Testament, there's ones that had to hide for their lives. There's ones that were killed. There was ones that were thrown in prison because they told the truth. If you ever read in there, the prophets that weren't persecuted, a lot of them weren't telling the truth. I can't think of the king right now, but the one king said, no, I don't want to hear from that prophet because he'll tell me the truth.
Yeah,
all the other prophets had told him it was okay to invade that other country. He had one prophet. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear from that guy. When that guy told him what the truth was, he was gone. See, I don't want him no more. You got to listen. I mean, these prophets that stood up for God went through a lot. John the Baptist obviously lost his head. He was standing up for his God. He was doing what the Lord had sent him to do, the forerunner of Christ. The disciples, most ended up dead. I mean, killed or murdered for what they were doing. Paul, he had several perils, jails, stonings, beatings, etc. But he kept preaching the word. He didn't back down. He didn't change his lifestyle from the bullying he was getting. It just made him stronger.
Right.
You want to bully me, then fine, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're going to try to take my life, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's Job. He lost pretty much everything he had. Got a lot of it back, but he still unfortunately had his wife, but he still came through all of it. Sorry, honey.
Yeah.
He stood up for God through all that had to go through. The next one is my wife's favorite Bible story, because many of you found out this week she's a track star. She was a track star in Ottawa Eldred, and she had three track records. And 3 weeks ago, we went to a boys' basketball game, and she came over very proud, as she should be. She said, look at my records, and one had been broke. So that was very hard for her to take that. She had lost one of her records, but... So she used to love track. She used to love to run. So this story is very close to her heart because it's Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I put that in there. She liked this one. But they went through, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire. They were bullied for their lives. And I put in there, they smelled like roses when they came out, though.
That's right.
They didn't. There was no smell of burn, there's no smell of ropes, no smell. We've all heard that message. They came out, they smelled like roses. God took care of them, brought them through because they stood for him. Obviously, the biggest one I can think of is Jesus. He was bullied by the Sanhedrin, by all the religious people. They didn't want him. He was telling the truth that they didn't like. They bullied him to the cross and to his death. Pilate delivered Jesus to the cross. What do you think? Pilate, yeah, I see it. We're in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 27. We'll read the account real quick. Matthew 27, start verse 17. We'll go to 24. And we don't associate Pilate because he wasn't a religious person. He wasn't. He obviously sent Jesus to the cross. We don't think of Pilate as being so-called bully, but he was. We start in verse 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was he was set down on the judgment seat. His wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Doesn't that sound like bullying? They didn't take his answer. They wanted their way. That wasn't the answer they were going to accept.
That's right.
Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He was bullied. And again, I'm not trying to... We know the story of his death. It would not have changed. It was set from the creation of the earth that Jesus would come to that earth and he was going to die. So Pilate, standing up to this, would have changed nothing. Okay, God would have had his way. Jesus was going to go to the cross. There's nothing we can say about that. But I just want to show you how the multitudes, Pilate was the bigger person here. He was above them, but they had more voice. They just kept, kind of reminds you today of all our protests that are going on.
Yes.
People can't accept what happened. People can't accept the truth. It wasn't their truth. It's not what they wanted. If they'd get back to the Bible and realize who's in control, maybe we'd have less protest in this country. Just my own 2 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe a dollar. I got a dollar, so. Verse 24, Pilate gave in. Didn't want to deal with it anymore. Just gave in. Easiest thing to do. Just give in to the bullying. Washed his hands of it. But I want to go back to verse 19 because something there popped out at to me. When he was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The word that I put there is, he refused counsel from his wife.
Uh-huh.
Again, Jesus was going to die on that cross. It was already set up. There's nothing that was going to change there. But I think that verse is in there for, bear with me, man. That was in there for us because we don't take counsel from our wives very often.
That's right. That's good.
Preach it.
The other side of this is, well, I'll stick with the counsel part. If your wife comes to you and says, I don't think you're doing this right, we are the man. We are accountable for what happens in our house. We are accountable for what happens in our relationship with our mate. If you get counsel from your wife, you are to first check it. If it's something to do with how you're living your life, it should be checked with the Bible, first and foremost, to see if she has any, her counsel is right or not. If her counsel's right, then you better do something about
that's
it.
That's right, yes, sir.
If her counsel's off, show her biblically.
That's right, yes, sir.
Why the counsel's off. But there's, the last phrase I put in there was, he refused counsel from his wife, but it can't be badgering, ladies. If you... you have to listen to her counsel, ladies. Tell it to your husband, to your man. Don't badger him about it. If you badger him, he's not going to listen to your counsel.
That's right.
I'm a man, I'm just telling you. And I'm not saying my wife does this to me, okay? She is very good at giving me counsel. Verse 20, got back to the elders. They pushed their way. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude. So the multitude wasn't all up in arms yet, okay? It was the elders who persuaded them and got them all fired up. They got the multitude fired up about this. This is what we want. It's the same thing. Don't get caught in the group just because somebody else is doing something. If somebody else... You see somebody being bullied, and it's just the easiest thing to do is just go along with it because you don't want to look like the goof. It's not good. You're going into the multitude. You're being stirred up by other people. Be your own person, don't bully others. I don't know if that's a technical term, bully, but don't be one that bullies, okay? Don't let others persuade you to go along, to be part of the game. In verse 24 and verse 19, there's two phrases that kind of stuck out in there, two different words. In the middle of 19, it says, have nothing to do with that just man. Verse 19, verse 24, Pilate almost says the exact same thing in the last sentence there, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. It's just kind of funny to me. They both knew he was a just person. His wife gave him the counsel. He didn't listen, okay? They both recognized he was a just person. If you know somebody and they're going through bullying for something and they're a just person, you need to stand up for them.
That's right.
You can't just let them continue to face it by themselves.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing of bullying, is to separate and to humiliate, to take on that weaker person, to hurt that weaker person. So closing remarks. Obviously, I think everyone knows who the father of bullying is. Obviously, it's Satan. Don't let Satan bully you. And I'll go back to the worldly side of things. There may be something that you're being bullied with personally, and it may be, I'll just throw worldly things out there, smoking, drinking, not living for the Lord, not having your family where it needs to be. There's things that Satan has such a grip on you that you can't get away from. He's bullying you, and he knows if you can break through that, he's got you. If you can break through it, you're going to get away from him. So he continues to hold you down. He continues to bully you with whatever your individual thing is. There's something, I'm not saying everybody is being bullied by something, but I know there's things that Satan's had a better grasp on in my life than God did. Satan's bullying me in a certain aspect or a certain place in my family that I need to go to the defeater of bullying, the defeater of Satan. I need to go to God. I need to be in my Bible.
Right.
I need to get through it, break through it, and defeat the bullying. As he said, this will be a two-part next week. It'll be still on the bullying theme. It's going to take a different little bit of a different twist, because you're going to say, well, you told me a couple of different things out of the Old Testament. Again, the main thing as we were in Deuteronomy is we have to be teaching our kids, we have to be living it out in our homes so that they're not asking us when they're older, why do you do this? Why do you go to church? Why do you pray? Why do you stand up for other people? They should know. And again, it starts in our own homes. Don't let Satan bully you out of being the leaders in your homes. It's much easier today, especially today, with sports for kids and all the different things that are going on in the world that your kids all want to be part of. It's harder to say no to your kid, because we're going to be in church, than it is to say, okay, let's go do that sports activity. Us as Christians and as parents, we need to make those tough decisions to say, my family will be in the house of God. I'm sorry, Billy, you can't do this sports activity. That's a hard thing to do. Your kid wants to be part of his class or whatever, but you have to get your rules in your house set to know what you're going to stand for. And it has
right.
to be,
yes, sir.
You gotta put it on your doorpost. You got to have it when you lie us down, when you wake us up, you got to be teaching these moments to your kids all the time. Well, Pastor?
Pastor, would you close us in prayer? Yeah.
I will certainly do that. You know, I'm glad you touched on, you know, the political left and liberals. They're the ones along with the media who stand up, stand wind up about school bullying and how wrong bullies are in school, and that is wrong. And yet that's exactly, as Neil pointed out, what they're doing.
Yep.
The very ones who would speak about bullying, that's exactly what they're doing now nationally.
That's
and
right.
The media is a co-bullier.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're buying into it. Now I want to say this for you ladies. There are a whole lot more pilot wife ladies than there are Job's wife ladies.
That's right.
I know we often chuckle about Job's wife, you know. But there's a whole lot more wives, Christian wives, that give good counsel, like pilots, than like Job's. I don't know any Christian women who have told their husband, look, why don't you just hang it up, let's forget about Christ, and let's just go live our own way.
That's right.
Christian women I know have been prodding their husbands. When the husband's ready to give up, it's the Christian woman.
Yeah.
You say, you can't do that. Okay?
Right.
So I just had to say them things.
You know.